We're going to turn this morning to John chapter 6. We read those first 15 verses. We will skip over a little way in the chapter to verse 26 and take up the reading again. The Lord Jesus had gone across the Sea of Galilee. And the people were looking for him. They had eaten the bread the previous day. So let us note what our Savior says to them as they come seeking him in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat or the food which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" In other words, they're saying, seeing is believing. And I hope we can be cured of that falsehood today, that seeing is not believing. Because they could see Jesus do miracles, and they still didn't believe him. Verse 31, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not." Now let's skip down to verse 47. This is quite a long chapter. We're not going to even get to the end of it, but just taking from verse 47. Again, Jesus uses his great name, amen, amen. In the original, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," this is something you can be certain of. Not only does amen mean so be it, but means it shall certainly be. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat or food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Amen. We end our reading there at the 58th verse, and we trust that the Lord will bless this reading from his holy word to our good today. From the very first week of human history, the creation week, life has been so much about food and eating. Eating for mankind and for all of the animals as well. You know, we sang a moment ago, I sing the mighty power of God. And in that, Isaac Watts wrote those words that God has filled the earth with food. And back in Genesis chapter 1, we read in verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat or for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Now this is the most beautiful picture. In the very beginning, God gave a perfect garden filled with perfect food for perfect, unfallen Adam and Eve. So from the very beginning of human history, eating and food was very prominent. Even our Lord Jesus, early in his ministry, he reported what was said about him. This is what the Jews said about Jesus. They said the Son of Man came eating and drinking. This is what he said they were saying about him. In our morning reading, in chapter 6 of John, the first 15 verses, we found our Lord Jesus feeding over 5,000 hungry people with just 5 loaves and 2 small fish. So the people began to look on Christ as a miracle worker like Moses, who had fed the hungry millions of Israel manna in the wilderness. But Christ had to correct them, saying, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Verse 32, rather it was the Father in heaven that gave that manna. Christ immediately told them that now my Father is giving to you the true bread from heaven. Every child of God that is living by faith and walking with God today knows what Jesus was talking about. Let me say that again. The true bread that's come down from heaven, every child of God that is living by faith and walking with God knows what Jesus was talking about. Christ is the bread of life. He is the ultimate. He is the genuine and the definite article that alone can satisfy the human heart. He is that only one that can meet the needs of both sinners and saints alike. Now, Christ had said earlier in his famous Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, he said that the heathen or the Gentiles are consumed with getting. Here we are on December the 2nd today. You might make sure your device is off. Mine's not going to make any noise. I have trouble keeping up with what time it is and what year it is. But today's December the 2nd, and I would dare say that just like the Gentiles, Jesus said in Matthew 6 that they were consumed with getting material things. And he said that the Gentiles are always saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we wear? But Jesus answered. The real answer to these questions is what Jesus said. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things, these material things, shall be added unto you. You need the king of the only kingdom that will stand forever. Earth's kingdoms will collapse and fall, but his kingdom is forever. So he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You need not only his kingdom, you need the king of the kingdom. You need his righteousness, who is Jesus Christ. For his righteousness alone can give you a right standing before God that will last forever. A right standing with God comes from his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, the Hebrew people were seeking Jesus Christ, but they were seeking him with the wrong motives. Jesus said to them, when they came over around that sea to where he was, some of them came in ships seeking him. And Jesus said to them very clearly, you don't seek me because of the miracles. You seek me because of the food that you put into your mouth. And it was like they had this mindset that if we only have him as our leader, then we won't ever have to worry about groceries again. I know that people have to worry about that here. You know, they get their groceries probably once a week, usually. But they said, if we have him as our leader, we'll always have groceries. And just maybe Jesus will teach us how we can do these miracles like he does. What are they asking in verse 28? Look there at verse 28 in John chapter 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What were the works of God that they had been seeing? The Lord producing great volumes of food. If he will teach us how we can do this like he does, yeah, this would be great. But they were getting it all wrong. So Christ told them the real issue in the next verse, in verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Oh, I thought that's what people did. No, he said, this is the work of God. What you need is faith, and faith is the work of God. Faith is the gift of God that enables sinners to believe on him whom the Father has sent. But they didn't get it. So immediately they asked him for another food miracle. They didn't get it right there. Look at verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? You're going to do something else, because our fathers did have manna in the desert. They ate manna. And now what you going to do? Once again, Christ led them back to the real issue. Verse 32. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Christ led them back to the real issue. It was the Messiah who was standing right there in front of their two eyes, but they could not see him. Even though Messiah Jesus was standing there, he had just recently fed them miraculously, and he was talking to them. They couldn't see him, and they couldn't even hear what he was saying. That's a terrible thing, but that's human nature. He said so plainly. Look at verse 48. He said, I am that bread of life. Now that was the first of the seven I ams of Jesus in John's gospel. He later said, I am the light of the world. And then he said, I am the door in John chapter 10. Also in John chapter 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. And then in chapter 11, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then in chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then in chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine. But here, he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna, yeah, but they're dead. And so many of them that ate that miraculous food in the wilderness are dead as ever right now. They're not in a happy eternity with God. Even though they ate that miraculous food for 40 years, they're dead, and they're really dead. They are experiencing the second death. But in verse 50, here's our text. He says, This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Speaking of himself, he said, I'm the bread of life in verse 48. In verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven. That, now there's that wonderful little Greek word, hina, that means in order that a man may eat thereof and not die. Why did I come down from heaven? I came down from heaven in order that a man may eat this bread of life and never die that second death. Now, literally, the Lord is saying, this is the out of heaven bread coming down in order that anyone may eat of it once and for all and never die. So from this verse, I want us to note that from the incarnate Christ speaking in verse 50, there are three unchanging realities. Three unchanging realities. He first speaks of the believer's union with Christ. Secondly, he is speaking of the believer's feeding on Christ. And third, he speaks of the believer's satisfaction with Christ. Now, first of all, the believer's union with Christ. Notice what he says here in verse 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof. You know, when you go home today and have your Sunday dinner, you will become united with that which you eat. It will become united to you. And sometimes we are sad about that because it stays united to us for years. And we can't get rid of it, but it becomes a part of us. So this union or uniting of a needy soul to Christ is described as the work of God. Believing on Him. What does He say in verse 29? This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. To eat the bread of life, to take it to myself, I've got to really believe on Him. I've got to believe on Him to the uniting of my needy soul to Christ. Now, our union with Christ is affected by the work of the Spirit in giving us faith.
faith bringing us into Christ and Christ into us.
That anyone would believe on Christ as the incarnate God, that anyone would believe on Christ as the Savior of sinners, is because of the enlightening, enabling work of the Holy Spirit. Now let's understand that if we are born again, it is the work of God. Titus 3:5, according to His mercy, He saves us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Spirit that renews us and brings us into this relationship with Christ. Ephesians 1:9, Paul writing of those who believe. Why do they believe? He says, who believe according to the working of His mighty power. It's the mighty power of God that causes me to believe. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. You all know it well. But what about that word? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What is the that not of yourselves? Well, the immediate antecedent right before it is faith. That faith is not of ourselves. Faith is the gift of God. Have you ever read in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 that a part of that cluster of fruit produced by the Holy Spirit is faith? Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It is not a work of the flesh. It is not something that man produces. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that He produces. Not all men have faith, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3:2. Not all men have faith. Well, why do any men have faith? Philippians 1:29 tells us why any men have faith. He says, unto you it is given to believe. Philippians 1:29, unto you it is given to believe. True faith is the gift of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I've pointed it out so many times, and I can say it till I don't have any more breath left in my lungs and I'm lying in a casket. But I'd like for you to remember this. We started at the book of Genesis today. In Genesis chapter 1, right at the beginning of that chapter, you have the Holy Spirit hovering, brooding, moving on the face of the waters. There was no life in those waters until He moved over the face of those waters. The same Holy Spirit, there was no Savior in this world incarnated until the Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, hovered over a virgin in the city of Nazareth. And there, as the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary, suddenly there was the incarnated flesh produced from Mary's substance by the work of the Holy Spirit and the divine nature of the second person of the Holy Trinity forever joined to that human nature. It was a miracle of the Holy Spirit over Mary. But the same thing happens when a person is brought to true faith in Christ. The Spirit of God hovers over us where there was nothing but death, spiritual death before. He produces life. What does the Scripture say? Unto you it is given to believe. Philippians 1:29. This union with Christ is likened to eating bread there in verse 50. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. You know, you are what you eat. You take it in, you assimilate it, and it becomes part of you. He who was before outside of me now dwells within me. That is the Lord God. Now, in this union, He becomes my own and I become his. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. As the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ is worth more than silver and gold to me. You know, you can have big piles of silver and gold in your vault or in a safe deposit box or even hidden somewhere. But you can't live on that stuff. Bread is far more valuable than silver and gold. Because you can live without silver and gold, but you can't live without bread. You've got to have food. Now, bread, Christ is bread for us. He gives us salvation. He gives us health. He gives us strength. He gives us eternal life.
Well, that's our first point.
Is we see in this text the believer's union with Christ. Secondly, the believer's feeding on Christ. The language that Christ uses throughout this passage declares that taking and eating Christ by faith gives eternal life. But once a man has life in Christ, he needs to eat daily to be strong and healthy. Everybody here needs to be eating every day to be strong and healthy. You've probably seen pictures of those who are in concentration camps or poor starving folks from third world countries. We've seen some of those awful things that people that have not had adequate food, and some for a very long period of time have not had food. And those without food for days and weeks are not strong and healthy. And if you go on for days and weeks that way, you'll just get worse. They're very pitiful to observe, just seeing skin and bones. And you know, if you profess to be a Christian and you go for days and weeks without feeding on Christ, if you go without spending time in prayer and fellowship with Him, if you go without joining joyfully in His worship, then you will be very weak. You will be very irritable. You'll be very irritable and frustrated with yourself and irritable with others, and you will be very doubtful and fearful and distressed. Feeding on Christ daily is absolutely essential to good spiritual health. Christ is the bread of life, and He is especially delicious and delightful to those of us who live for many years in Starvation Alley. And we know that He saved us from dying eternally. We know what is meant by this wonderful salvation in Christ. Those of us who live in fear and doubt and misery for years are absolutely overwhelmed and delighted now with Christ and His great salvation. So feeding on Him is feeding on Him spiritually, not feeding on Him carnally or corporally or cannibalistically. The Jews were misunderstanding what Jesus was saying. Look at verse 51. Well, then verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're thinking, are they going to be gnawing on his arm? What are they going to be chewing on? They misunderstood what He was saying. This wasn't the first time Jews had misunderstood what Jesus was saying. You remember back in chapter 3, there was a great wise man among the Jews. His name was Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night, and Jesus said, "No, look, you must be born again." He didn't understand what He's talking about. You got to be born from above. You got to get a birth that comes down upon you from heaven. And Nicodemus thinking, how am I going to get back inside my mother? I'm a grown man. How am I going to get back inside her womb and be born? Jesus said, no, you don't understand at all what I'm saying. And here, the Jews thought that Jesus meant literal flesh and blood, eating and drinking that. Well, Roman Catholicism has fallen into the very same erroneous idea. Their monstrous doctrine of transubstantiation says that the communion bread and wine are changed on the table into Christ's literal flesh and literal blood. This is not only against reason, it's against the experience of those who have partaken of the Roman Mass for years. They understand that they're just chewing a piece of wafer and they're not really chewing a piece of human flesh. This is not only against that. The Old Testament and the New Testament both forbid the consuming of literal blood. Leviticus chapter 17 and Acts chapter 15. Now Christ continues the thought of his flesh and blood down through verses 54 to 58. But did you see verse 57? There Jesus is still explaining about this eating flesh and blood. He says in verse 56, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him." Now notice, here's the key to the understanding of this. Verse 57, "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father." I'm drawing life from the Father. "So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." You're going to have to feed on me the same way I feed on my Father in heaven. How do I live by the Father? I live in the spiritual relationship to him. I'm not eating the Father's flesh and blood because he doesn't have any. God the Father has no material body. Only Christ does. He says, as I am living by the Father, you've got to live spiritually on me like I live spiritually in relationship with him. So I hope you understand that. Hope it's very clear. Christ came down here to give the bread of his flesh or body for the life of the world. Receiving him and feeding upon him are matters of faith and not something carnal, corporeal, or cannibalistic. Now we thought on the believer's union with Christ and feeding on Christ. Finally, the believer's satisfaction in Christ. Verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." So many benefits come with that. Everlasting life, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, growing in assurance and grace. He's enough. Having Christ, we have all. The believer finds Christ to be a complete Savior. He not only reconciles us to God by his obedience to the law for us, he has given his flesh, his body to be broken for us on the cross, and all of his blood to be poured out as the payment of the full penalty of all of our sins and all of our law breaking. He's the perfect Savior. He is both our sacrifice and our priest who offered the sacrifice. Notice verse 51. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." His flesh is our sacrifice. His blood, his very soul. But he's the one who gives it. He is both the priest and the sacrifice. He is a perfect priest, the only perfect priest, because he needs not to offer any sacrifice for his own sin, because he has none. Every other priest that has ever lived, whether he be a Levitical priest, a Romish priest, or whatever kind of priest he is, they all are sinners, but not Jesus. He gave himself completely. He didn't have to offer anything for himself because he had no need of sacrifice. He has lived for 33 years in this corrupt, fallen world. So he knows how to help us. He knows how to sympathize with us. He knows the difficulties, the frustrations, the perplexities, all of those circumstances of life. He understands how to be faithful and how to continually show mercy to us. Christ's great purpose is to take his redeemed people to be with him in eternal glory and happiness. Being with him forever is likened to a marriage supper. He will, as the Lamb, feed his people and lead them to living fountains of water and wipe away all tears from their eyes. Well, you see, we've come full circle this morning from where we started in a perfect garden with the Lord. Adam and Eve were eating perfect food. That was Eden. And that will be the case for believers in eternity with Christ forever feasting. But do you really grasp the gravity of all this? Jesus performed great miracles and stood and told the people who he was. And yet they could not take it in. They were looking directly at him with both their eyes, hearing him, but they were carnally minded. They were engrossed in spiritual blindness. They could not see him. They could not receive him by faith. And you know, we can read this morning. You can hear these truths, and you may even give some sort of mental assent to what I'm saying. But unless you personally take and eat the bread of life, unless you have Christ himself and find your delight in him, and unless you come to have a real hunger and an appetite for him, you are just as blind and you will be just as eternally lost as those Jews were. He has come to us so that we may come to him. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are so assured by thy Spirit this day that the only way for thy word to have success and to do that great work is by the power of the Holy Ghost. So Lord, we pray that thou wilt take this little that has been offered by this poor preacher. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless it as thou didst bless those loaves and fish. We pray, O God, that there would be more than a nourishing of the mind, that there would be a true desire created in the heart for none less than Christ himself. We praise thee, O Lord. Thou art so satisfying. How wonderful it is to be delivered by thee, to know thy great salvation, to know what it is to even have a little hungering and thirsting for thee. Oh, that thou wouldst increase that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.